The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Keith Walsh is with me, the podcasting and PR guru, and Alison Curtis, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Are you enjoying the first, officially, what's the first crisp wintry day?
Yeah, it is actually outside, isn't
it? Yeah, lovely.
Nice. Yes.
We had proper frost.
Did you? Kenny.
Oh yeah, real frost, yeah.
In the country. See, we've got too much pollution in Dublin for frost.
Yeah, keeps the climate nice and temperate underneath all that smog.
Do you have testers in Kilkenny to say that this is proper frost? Like, it has to have a certain crispness, the grass and stuff like
that? It has to last, there has to be white tips on the grass beyond 10 a.m.
Okay.
If it melts away before 10 a.m, then it's not proper frost.
I'm actually impressed.
That's just a little frost. Yeah.
Not just in the shade then.
No, oh no, no.
The frost can go all day in the shade.
Don't mind your shade. Don't mind your shade, Keith. Don't mind your shade.
Different frost.
Alison, who's your winner of the week?
My winner is not a person but a place.
Right.
National Gallery in Ireland. I know it's very Dublin-centric, but we went there as a family.
But it is the National Gallery.
It is the National Gallery.
Even though it's in Dublin.
We went as a family last Saturday, the three of us, and I bought tickets to Women Impressionist. It's a temporary, it's gone now, guys, but it was really good. And I was just like, God damn it, we're doing something together. Like, and it's hard on the weekends because sometimes when I get home from the show, I'm like, I'm just going to have a disco nap the last 3 hours. Sorry, guys. So it's hard, but this
is that what you call it, a disco nap?
Yeah, because it's only supposed to be a short while to get you ready to go out at night.
Do you know what Marty Whelan calls it? He was on the show earlier. He calls it a nana nap.
A nana nap.
Yeah.
I like that.
A nana nap.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, we're going to do something.
Sorry, Alison. I'm all in on the nap. Do you go to bed for your disco nap? Or do you just have it on the sofa?
Stand up, yes. Yeah, go to bed.
You're like a horse.
Yeah,
you just stand with your eyes slightly open.
I just walk back into the ball and plug in. And sometimes...
Fully seated.
This is really awkward. We have a football pitch behind us and sometimes it's really loud. So I kick my daughter out of her room and I go, I'm having a nap in your room now.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And have a little snooze.
Marty just snoozes on the sofa with the book. Bad quality, I have to say.
I don't like that.
With the book as his pillow?
No, I assume he does that thing where it falls down on his chest.
Does
and then
he just
falls
fall asleep in random places? On the show as well.
Marty's pushing on now. I mean, he probably just falls asleep.
He's kind of ageless.
There's probably someone in RTE who has to poke him awake.
During
the middle of Puccini or something. You know what I mean?
I do admire people that...
Sorry, Marty, we love you.
Yeah, we do. I admire people who can just conk it for like 20 minutes or whatever. Mm. Like, it takes me forever to fall asleep. And then, yeah.
And then
anyway,
we got lost.
Yeah. So National Gallery. So I was like, no, guys, we're going to start doing something as a family once a month. Like either you come in and meet me in town because I'm working in town. We're just going to do something. And it was really good. So she was resisting it at first. And then we went through a few rooms and then she really got into the Women Impressionists. So there's only four of them. I learned a lot. Ask me anything. No. Joan was a bit like, because she's 13. She was like, and then I could see her getting more and more into it. And then she stopped. She's like, I'm going to go back actually and can we take photos of things? I was like, yeah, you can. Just don't have the flash on. I'm going to go back and take one of that because I really like that. And she got really into it. And one of my agenda with this, there's always an agenda with parents. She has art in school. She's not fully in love with it. And it changed this week. She came home and she was like, I have to do a texture project. I'm going to do that now. And she went straight upstairs to do it.
Wow.
So it was really nice. So the gallery, you know, it's free, most of it. Certain exhibitions aren't. But you can just walk in, tootle around for a bit. Obviously, you can only last so long. I find in that environment, sometimes even like, you know, even the lighting and things, like you can only take in so much as well.
Did you get a little lost?
No.
I sometimes do in there.
It's not
like a perfect loop to walk around.
No.
Yeah, there's a bit of doubling back.
Did you find an adult
happens.
To help you? Or
I always write my mother's phone number and name on my arm in biro, and I just walk up to an adult and I just point at it.
I need to find this one.
Yeah. Ring her.
Not your wife. Yeah. You haven't changed that.
No, it's still my mother's. Yeah. Emergency. When I fill out emergency contact details for everything, it's my mother's.
Your wife wouldn't come and get you.
No. Not him again.
She's lost as well
in
the gallery.
Exactly. But sometimes she sends me there to lose me, I think.
It's not like I get lost in the play. I get lost.
shoves me into the National Gallery and drives off.
Not like She's like, I need some alone time.
It's not like I get lost in the art. I literally get lost.
Yeah. But it's so good because it's free, like, for a lot of it. So you just walk in and take as long as you want and leave, as you know. And then we went for a meal afterwards. So it was a nice little bonding time.
It's my go-to place in Dublin if I have time to kill.
Really?
Yeah, always.
So it's always your winner.
Yeah, no, it is. I had time to kill a couple of weeks ago. One morning, I can't remember why, and I went down. Yeah, I'd always go down to the National Gallery for a little wander.
I'm ashamed to say I've only been in a handful of times.
Great.
Can I tie up the napping and the time to kill thing?
Oh yeah.
Why isn't
I going to the National Gallery for a nap?
Well, why is
they frown? Nap?
Yeah. It's not. Like it's in like Japan? It's not against the rules, but they frown on it.
Why isn't there a place
there
that you can go? Is there?
Yes.
Why isn't there a place? I think about it all the time. Why isn't there somewhere I can go?
Sleep pods.
Well, just, yeah, or
for a nap.
Recline or something.
Like under a bridge or something.
Well, like a bunch of recliners in a room or something that you can just go in.
A lot of capital cities have that.
Yeah. Why don't we have it? Like if you're waiting for a train, I don't want to sit there on a, like, you know the type of seats they have, say, at Euston?
Yeah.
They're made of...
The metal kind of ones, with all the little holes, the perforated seats.
They're not comfortable. You don't want to stop, like, and I end up, like, I genuinely end up just leaning against the post, almost like lying down.
I'm sorry, what do you want, though? A little pod you can climb into?
No, just a reclining
seat. A recliner, like a hammock.
You have a nap, yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even have
the
airport.
But I wouldn't be able to sleep in public spaces. Oh, we've already talked about the fact that I can't do certain things in public spaces.
Yeah.
I don't think I could sleep.
What were the other things?
Number two.
Okay. We don't need to go there again.
No.
Okay.
Right there.
The National Gallery, anyway, a worthy winner of the week. Who's your winner of the week, Keith?
My pilot from the flight I was on last week. I was on an Aer Lingus flight. Hello, Aer Lingus, and congratulations. And the engine failed.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. The engine failed. One of the engines failed. So, like, there are two engines. And we were leaving Heathrow and we were heading off back to Ireland. And I kind of looked out the window at one point and I was like, there's still a lot of city. I'm still seeing lots of city. And I don't think we're as high as we usually.
Was that your only way of knowing it had happened? Or did they say it?
Well,
you don't say it.
That was just me at the start.
All the flames coming out of the other engine and the smoke, the billowing smoke. I don't usually see that.
There was a golem type creature on the wing.
Yeah.
But so I just noticed that, but it didn't register anything. We hadn't climbed as far as I thought we should have or whatever. But anyway, I just thought, well, maybe I'm just not used to this route. I usually fly from Gatwick or something, and I just went back to watching my movie. And then the pilot, I think he had kind of turned around at that point, was starting to turn around. I said, we have to go back to Heathrow. And everyone was like, we've lost an engine, you know.
Oh. Did they actually say that?
Yeah.
Told you we've lost an engine.
Do they have to do that legally? Because I would imagine that would set a little bit of panic.
Keith, you strike me as the type of person in that situation who could not help himself, would stand up and say, I see it, it's on the wing.
There it is. Found it. So the engine, one of the engines was gone, and obviously we weren't past halfway, because that would have been, you know, a very Irish thing to do. Is turn back. But we're past halfway. It's Dublin's nearer. So we turned around and there was a little bit of a murmur, but most people stayed calm.
Yeah.
And I actually was like, so he was very good communicating with everybody. He said, well, this is what's happening. We're going to go back.
Wow.
So we can fly on one engine. We don't need two, but he said, obviously, if that one goes, you know, we're in trouble. So
I can't believe he was that honest.
Yeah, he was very honest. And then actually, at one point, like very quickly, he said, he told the cabin crew to sit down and take their landing seats. And everybody was very calm.
Except for you, no.
Well, I was just thinking in that moment, I was like, well, how would it be different if I worried about it? Like, how would the outcome be any different if I just got really stressed about it, right?
Very level-headed.
I suppose I was lucky, and then I just went back to watching my documentary about a prison warden who went on the run with one of her prisoners. And I was more stressed about that than anything. I was like, how is she going to get away with
it?
They're
going
to catch her. So I just watched that, and then we landed quite well. And, we did come down quite quickly. It was all very, like, fast. But everybody stayed calm.
And they got you off, or did they fix the plane?
No, they got us off, and we had to stay in a hotel, and then had a flight about 5 hours later.
Okay.
In the morning, but it was only when we landed that people were like, and then this isn't a gender thing, but the three women in front just started crying, you know, because of the relief, and like they had just held on to themselves, because you don't really know how bad it is or where to place it, and you're just like, Should I be worried? Should I be freaking out? Should I
do
be
Do you know what you should have
aisle?
Done in that situation? So this is actual advice I got. Did I tell you this before off my granddad? My granddad was a pathologist. So, you know, dealing with dead bodies all the time. And he said the first time I was getting on a flight, my very first time I was going with school and on a French exchange. And he said, if anything goes wrong with the plane and it's going to crash, lick your finger and stick it up your backside. And that way they'll be able to identify you from your fingerprint.
Oh,
you,
my God.
And you can be buried with your mother's people.
Oh, my God. And have a nice trip, son.
I don't get that. What? Because
if your body has just been, like, charred beyond recognition, you'll have a preserved fingerprint.
I hope people have had their fingers at this stage.
Your bottom will preserve your
fingers. It'll just be nice and sealed.
It'll be inside.
Yeah, it'll be sealed. Yeah,
I was like,
in
so,
there.
So if I just drop my pants,
yeah,
I think that would cause more panic.
I'm only sorry, Keith, I hadn't told you that story before last week. Or there would have been a great.
How old were you? Were you
great
thinking,
experience. I was about 12.
Did you worry about it the whole way over?
I think the tone in which he delivered it, I think, was...
So your mom's number would be gone, would it? You have to stick your whole arm
no,
at your backside.
No, I mean, God almighty. Anyway,
oh my
good
God.
Advice for anyone out there. If anything happens,
no,
just
please,
do that.
No, take your pants down on a plane, please.
Alison, what's on the show this weekend?
I'm actually in Dunmore East. On
oh,
Sunday.
Lovely.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, exactly.
Was that a part of the country now you'd go to in the summer? Would you ever
I
be down there?
I would be very familiar with Waterford. I choose to go there quite a bit.
Okay.
But yeah, no, I really like it. So it's part of this huge thing that we're doing with Commission Amon, my town. So we're visiting Dunmore East.
Oh, yeah, I love Dunmore
East. Much better than Dunmore West. Controversial.
Controversial, but true. Alison, who's your sinner of the week?
Okay. You know that I love Halloween. Everybody
yes.
knows
oh, yes.
Me.
Actually, you know what? You were talking about Halloween yesterday on the show.
Yeah.
And you said some adults are getting a little bit too into Halloween. And you were the first person I thought. I said, God, we should have a chat about that today.
So I love it.
Did I say that?
Did you say that?
No, I didn't.
I missed that. I do love it a lot, but... I like, you know, the traditional kind of, you know, you're like it is a family time, you're getting together. I associate it with positive things. I know I think I said this to you before. In Canada, we didn't have the kind of antisocial behavior around it. It wasn't like bonfires, like it was just people dressing up as Ewoks and collecting candy. So it's, you know,
you didn't throw eggs at people's houses.
We did do that when you're in secondary school.
Okay.
You kind of started doing that. But lately on Instagram, all I see are these people taking up their decorating to a new height that just really annoys me. So the latest one was I saw this woman going, and you know how they fast forward videos and stuff. She's like, just try this, people. I'm like, A, who has the time? And B, why? So she's carved out a pumpkin.
Okay.
Took the time to melt multiple candles in a frying pan. What's going to happen to that frying pan? I want to know as well. Sprinkle cinnamon on, get two wicks, pour it back into the pumpkin and use it as a candle for however long.
So like it's a huge pumpkin candle.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure it smells nice. I mean, pumpkins do rot anyway.
Yeah, and they rot pretty quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Unless
you do have the thing for where you're kind of twisting it to hide the rotting part for a few days around Halloween.
You have to put Vaseline on the outside as well. That helps a little bit. And saran wrap at night if you want. Just saying. But yeah, so there's that. And then it's just like all these like, this is what I do with the front of my house. This is what I do. And it's like, I forgot to bring down my ghost. I made you a ghost, Karen. Basically, it's literally...
Who has the time to make a ghost?
It's so simple.
Go on.
And you can reuse it if you want to.
Oh, here we go.
Mary make and do. Here we go.
Grab a tissue, one tissue,
roll
into a little ball, throw another one on top, twist and draw a face on it. And that's your ghost. I'm going to bring it down to you later. And you can stick it on the wall. You can string them like little garland. You can do whatever you want. And then in an emergency, you can use them for something else.
Emergency ghosts.
Yeah.
There's one I've seen a lot now is the refuse sacks. They cut the refuse sack in such a way that then they unveil it. And it's this like huge, big spider web.
I know.
And it looks way more... It's much easier than I imagine it's going to be if I try it.
Oh, no. And it's just like taking it. It's like putting the standard so high that now I feel like I was good at this. And now I don't feel like I'm good at it anymore.
The other end of the spectrum, this is on your ghost level. They're white candles. And they just did two little eyes and a little mouth with a permanent marker. And all their white candles suddenly were like ghosts.
Well, that's cute.
That's great.
That's
and so
cute.
Easy to do.
I like it. Now, I do like carving pumpkins. I will say...
You're a good pumpkin
I'm
carver?
I'm very good at that now, I will say. Downhill skiing and carving pumpkins are my two things.
Wow.
But...
leads into the whole Canada thing.
I really lean into that.
For the show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Carving a pumpkin while downhill skiing.
Yeah.
But I do like that, and it's mindfulness and stuff. So, but like people who take it up too high, for the rest of us can't reach those heights.
So you were like, I love Halloween. Now are you starting... and now you're like, oh no, hang on.
It's just running away with them. Yeah,
so,
relax.
So you wanted to stay within...
The 1970s, 80s vibe.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, we are decorating our houses all the time now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because it goes Halloween into...
Oh, sorry, before Halloween, you've got your autumn wreath. We'll go kind of your autumnal kind of harvesty kind of wreath.
Yeah,
no, but you see them now.
Is that they're part of kind Halloween? Of,
I don't.
Pre Halloween.
Kind of pre Halloween, yeah.
That's a dumb question. Just kidding.
We don't yet have summer decorations.
We have Easter, I suppose.
Easter.
Yeah, so summer, we don't have summer. There's a gap in the market, lads. There's a business in there somewhere.
Summer decorations.
Yes, exactly. Keith, who's your sinner of the week?
Hotels that aren't scared of the number 13.
You see, very specific winner.
I grew up thinking that hotels skipped the floor 13. Mm-hmm. I always thought they went from 12 to 14 if they were that high.
Yeah, it was easy to think that in Ireland because we didn't have any building that went above that.
I can remember reading, I don't know, I used to read books like maybe the Guinness Book of Records or whatever, but I remember... reading that in America.
There'd always be an Inspector Morse episode or something like that as well, where someone was accidentally killed because the housing estate didn't have a number 13.
Yes. Yeah, or something. It was something about it. And then they'd figure it out and go, hang on.
Yeah. He was actually trying to kill Keith, not Alison.
Yeah. And that's why, yeah. So the 13, I always thought number 13 was skipped as a room, as a floor. And then I stayed in a hotel, the Carlton in Limerick, which seems to have, well, it has 15 floors, right? But I stayed on the 13th floor.
So and it
I
was does.
Like, I'm on the 13th floor. Oh, that's cool. And then I noticed every floor up to the 13th floor has 13 rooms, exactly 13 rooms. So they were like almost like it was like two fingers up to superstition. Mm. But after the 13th floor, there was only 12 floors on the 14th floor.
So 12 rooms.
Or 12 rooms on the 14th floor. And there wasn't 13 rooms on the 15th floor. And I was like...
So would you, like... So the number 13, it's obviously Taylor Swift's lucky number. That doesn't bother me, but...
Obviously.
Number 4-9 bothers me.
Why?
Because when I was younger, I had two really close friends and they were from Japan and they're very unlucky numbers in Japanese folklore. And honestly, I'm not going to go too deep because it's Friday and we're having fun, but the 4 and the 9 has turned up in my life multiple times as not great things.
When they're together?
Kind of, and separate.
Oh.
So, yeah. So, yeah. So, so when we were looking to buy a house, I was like, I saw one that I liked that was number 114 or something. I was like, no. So none of the houses we looked at could I have a 4 or 9 in it
you
as an address.
You couldn't have a 4 at all?
No.
So not number 4, not number 40, not number 14?
No, but
14.
Then when Joan was born on the 4th of May, I had to go, okay, I have to embrace this number. I have to embrace this number. I still would avoid it in a weird, like that's all superstition.
Yeah.
So 4 means death and 9 means illness.
In Japan?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. But the houses don't have to be in Japan?
No. No.
I did avoid had 4s and 9s.
Things that you learn when you're younger and you think you get over them, you can shake them off or whatever, yeah. But you're like, no.
But I was surprised, first of all, that Limerick had a building that high, because when she said to me, you're on the 13th floor, I was like, yeah, I am on the 13th floor. Surely it's just like one, and then there's 300 rooms on the first floor or something. But no. 13th floor. And it was quite a nice view of the Shannon, actually.
It is a lovely view. I've been in that hotel. It is a lovely view.
It is quite nice. But I was surprised. I really was surprised. They were really like, they didn't care. Like, first of all, they're the 13th floor. But then on every floor, they had 13 rooms exactly. Except on the 14th floor.
Yeah, where they had 12, as you told us.
Yeah.
How many rooms on the 15th floor?
2. It was like a penthouse.
Oh, nice. Anyway, that's Keith's sinner of the week. Is it the number 13? No, hotels that don't shy away from the number 13.
Don't care.
He's not
don't
even
worry.
Sure if you're a sinner.
Hotels that don't worry about the number
superstition.
13.
Superstition.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. Oh, they had ladders. You had to walk under multiple ladders.
Non-superstitious hotels. It's the sinner of the week. We'll be back after the break with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Keith Walsh and Alison Curtis are both still with me. It is the last bit of the show. Alison, good news this week, Cabin Crew.
I know, so cute. You know Cabin Crew, don't you? They're a rap group from Cork. And,
of course they do, yeah. The Cabin.
And
as soon as
I say their name, the song goes into my head, probably the same for you.
I thought Cabin Crew was like one of these new reality TV shows where it's like people working.
Cabin snow. So with the K, cabin crew.
No, cabin crew from the cabin down in Cork. Gotcha.
With 13 floors. So no, 2025 could be their year, nominated for a Grammy, two Grammys, and they are the best dance electronic recording and best song in the Grammy Awards. And that's really exciting. So they're in that category with a lot of really big heavy hitters.
They were on this, two of them came on the show, Lucy and Kada.
Yes.
And they were great. They were so lovely. And they said Mariah Carey and Eminem are in their categories.
Yeah.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Like, could you imagine them getting that news? Like, that's just so... Fine. It's already been such a wild, explosive year for them. They've been on big stages, you know, performing with loads of different people. Everyone knows their name now. Everyone can sing the song. And for that to happen, I think it's a great little Irish story.
But I love how different people deal with it. Like, Kada was so excited. She just literally had just heard the news. And then I was like, and Lucy, how did you find out? She goes, I've known since Monday.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, ah, sure, you know yourself.
It's all news now.
She's like, the
Cork Reiki.
Yeah.
That type
that's
of thing.
That's our job.
Should I sing
that's
it? Yeah,
should
I sing a job, yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, they could have that sort of nonchalant Irish charm at the awards, and they'll just
they'd
get
be amazing.
More
wouldn't they be great at
yes.
it?
Yeah.
It would be great.
We'd actually watch it then, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We'd have an interest. But there's so many specific awards at the Grammys, though, isn't there?
Like, it's a long night.
Yeah, they could definitely get best song recorded in a place called The Cabin.
There might be a subcategory for that, all right. So... Cork and Limerick, actually, who we've both just spoken about, are kind of an issue. You want to take issue with them?
Well,
their
wonder,
sense of identity,
Cork,
is it?
Galway and Limerick, just the same place. I don't know if you've ever... do you spend much time on TikTok?
No.
No?
Oh, not really.
So, like, there's this area of TikTok where they don't believe, these people don't believe Australia is a thing. And it's a simulation. And you get on a flight and it just... The plane's... simulates a flight and then you land in this place.
Sorry, I'm all in now. I love that. I'm gonna be on TikTok.
So there are these people, you know, the flat earthers.
Yeah.
There are also people who believe that, you know, life is a simulation, but there's people that believe that Australia is not.
And why Australia?
Oh, it's just a bit.
Well, I don't know. They're like, well, how would this? Why are it's like there's so many bits about it that they just can't get their heads around.
They can't understand why anyone would want to live there.
Yeah.
It's like that Dylan Moran sketch. You know, it's like 1 mile from the surface of the sun. Yeah. The sea is full of jellyfish with knives.
Everything
wants to kill you. Yes.
And they're
great sketch.
Like it's English speaking, and you know, it's like it's a lot of white Europeans living there.
Looking at that drove you to this part of TikTok.
Why does the algorithm think you're interested in this, Keith? That's the real question.
Because I don't shy away from people that think differently to me.
You're so open-minded.
But yeah, so there are these people, they exist, that don't believe Australia is a real place. And it just got me thinking, because I was in Limerick last night and I was like, feels very familiar.
Has he been there before?
Cork and Galway. They all feel very familiar when you arrive. And I'm like, maybe I'm just arriving at the same place, but
I'm going to take issue with that. I think you're all very different.
Entering from a different area.
I mean physically they remind you of the same place?
Yeah, they feel the same. They look the same. The streets are the same.
I think Limerick and Cork arguably could be a little bit more similar, but Galway is very different.
Really?
I mean, they're all distinct. I love everybody from all those parts of the world.
I'm not sure that they're
Keith's views are not representative of the views of News Talk or the Hard Shoulder.
I'm not sure that they're not the same place. I think you get on one of those roads like the M8 or the M7 or the M or whatever it is. And then at one point, you know, the big roundabout. And you go round that roundabout. And then you end up on the same road. And then like they just, as you're coming in, they just swap the signs as you're coming in. And then it's like, oh, I'm in Limerick now or I'm Cork.
Okay.
Like, the West is just, I mean... It's
no,
just all the same.
I don't agree.
A bit further out, and then it's like Dingle, but Dingle and
that's such a Kildare
Connemara.
I'd have expected better from somebody who lives outside the M50.
Just look, Dingle, Connemara, all those, the West, you know, the Wild Atlantic Way. That's just a short, like 2 mile strip, you know, and it's all these these old houses and like stone walls and the
and people just keep looping back around it, and they don't realize they're in the same place.
They literally say it's the Ring of Kerry, it's the Ring of Galway, Kerry, the Wild West.
I think that's the same sheep I saw 10 miles back up the road.
I'm not sure if we. I don't think we've moved that far, but now we're in Donegal, and that guy looks quite similar to the guy that was standing outside his house.
Playing
the fiddle.
Yeah.
You know, I just think, I'm just not sure. I just think, I'm not saying it's a thing.
You're going to start that new corner on TikTok.
I'm just wondering. I just put it out there. So quick.
Forget your summer decoration business. There's your business.
The West of Ireland.
The West
doesn't
of Ireland. It doesn't.
Well, it does exist, but it's all the same place.
Okay. It does. And it's very small.
Yeah.
And it's where is it?
Well, it is that way.
Okay. Yeah. Over the Shannon somewhere.
Yeah. Over the Shannon. Let's.
There's a small strip of land on the far side of the Shannon.
Yes.
And past all that lawn, the west of Ireland is in it.
Past that lawn, there's a few, like, there's a, like, say 5 square mile.
Okay, past yeah, that lawn.
And that's all of the west.
Dear. Wow, okay.
They just changed the signs depending on what's big at the time, you know.
All right. Mm. Everybody listening for the west of Ireland, it was great to have your custom while it lasted. Enjoy the weekend. Keith Walsh, Alison Curtis, enjoy your weekend as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.